ready, Keith?
I am ready for a very, 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 very long 2024 Patriots
Why
season.
Why not? Yeah. Bring it on.
I am ready for what will be a very long year.
I think.
Yep.
I think that's my takeaway after kicking my feet up.
Yep.
Watching some football yesterday. It's the dream. It's the dream. The Patriots are off. You get to kick your feet up and watch the rest
watch
of the league.
All the games.
Lucas had a play date yesterday.
Is that right?
Out of
he
the
wasn't
house.
Watching the games?
No. Out of the home.
Wow.
Play date.
So
out
he had
of the
no
home.
Responsibility.
Nothing.
Just sat, kicking up, watching the old games.
Sat down.
Red zone?
Red zone.
Yeah.
Fantasy football fired up.
Yep.
Bets locked in.
Love that. Bozo TD parlay.
Bozo TD parlay.
Look out.
Riding like you read about.
Yep.
Survivor Pool 2.0 already knocking people out.
Love it.
The champ. The champ is out.
I told you.
Oh, Nick already got bounced for that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're out.
I was picking against your boy.
Oh, yeah, that's a mistake. Bo Nix has figured it out.
Yeah, Bo Pix is.
Not Bo Pix.
Yeah, no, he's back to Bo Nix.
No, that was they gave him another nickname yesterday, like Nifty Bo Nix, or they had some
no,
stupid
name.
They did. What happened? There's another nickname for Bo Nix, but he was able to figure it out a little bit. Yeah, a lot of football, and let's be honest, a lot of bad football.
Well,
that was
yeah.
not a great slate of games. That
it
was
wasn't.
Not, the teams don't look overly great. Like that was. I mean, it's week three. It's still the first month of the year, but you thought some of the rust or some of the issues might have been knocked off after the first two games, but leave it to the Patriots to prove with their week three performance that that's not the case. And you got more bad games yesterday, more bad performances, more sloppy football.
Okay, you did, but you also got some of the what I assumed were terrible teams and teams maybe worse than the Patriots.
Yeah.
They won.
Yeah, they did.
The Panthers won and look good.
They look real good.
Your guy, Bo Pix.
Bo Pix killed it.
The Broncos won. The Giants won.
Giants. Brian Daboll hot seat got a little bit cooler yesterday.
You know? So, like, I don't know. Maybe Tennessee is still below the Pats.
Tennessee blows. Turns out Cleveland actually blows. You know, there's a bunch of teams. Maybe the Saints didn't figure it out after 2 weeks. Like, maybe they came crashing back down to earth a little bit. But, yeah, some interesting results. The Dolphins, with all their quarterback issues, they look like they're a mess. But yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots are one of the worst teams in the league, like without a doubt.
Are they the worst though? Like not to swing the pendulum too much.
I think we will.
I had them 3-0 when I was picking out wins going into Thursday night.
You were loving how the schedule laid out.
Okay,
them.
But you have to admit,
I think we
even
have,
if you were down on the team, Thursday night was foundation
abysmal.
Shattering.
Yeah,
it was the thing where you look at it and go, okay, Seattle's 3-0. They took Seattle to overtime.
And Seattle's a nice team.
They beat the Bengals week one. We're
Zach Charbonnet.
We're going to watch Cincinnati again tonight. The first 2 weeks were fine. The first 2 weeks were pretty good.
No, this one was a soul crusher.
Thursday again was foundation shattering. So not to swing the pendulum too much.
No.
And be way over here and now I'm way over there and I'm all over the map. But I'm going to be all over the map. Are they the worst? I'm now wondering if they're the worst team in football after watching the whole league
yesterday. I think there's a chance that they are. I think we will know for sure between week 7 against Jacksonville in London and then week 9 at Tennessee. Week 9 at Tennessee.
That's your Super Bowl.
May determine who gets Travis Hunter. Like, that might be what it comes down to because that Tennessee team looks awful, and they're sticking with Will Levis. He's throwing pick sixes every single week. He might be the worst quarterback currently in the league, and therefore there's usually a quick dot to connect to worst team in the league, right? If you have the worst quarterback play, you have the worst team in the league.
Usually pretty close.
But the Patriots are also in that conversation, right? Their offense is a mess, but guess what? Turns out, so is their defense. That's a surprise. Didn't think the defense was going to be as bad as it was. And he thought after the first 2 weeks, maybe they'll play more competitive games. Maybe they'll be a tougher out for a lot of teams. So you don't want to like overreact too much to one game, but just the way that Thursday night game played out, it was demoralizing. And you look around the league, they do play a couple of other stink bag teams later on in the year. But right now, they're 1-2. Looks worse than some of the other 1-2s is another way of kind of putting it.
Yeah, and it just feels like, again, week one, when you look back at it, it was Cincinnati checked out, and it was more about the Bengals not being ready to go for whatever reason than really anything the Patriots did. Seattle, I guess you can still feel okay about, maybe even feel better about that game.
Yeah, but they should have won. They were up in the fourth quarter, and if they won that game, now the Jets game, even if the Jets game plays out the same.
Yeah.
You're 2-1, and you're like, all right, throw that one out. That one sucked. Throw it out.
Short week.
No, you're
on the road.
Two.
Vintage Rodgers.
Yep, yeah,
okay, you can write it off.
But you lost, and even though you played competitive against a team that is 3-0, so like on the one hand, it's like a little bit of a tip of the cap to the old Seattle Seahawks. You were up in the fourth quarter. You were up by 3 with the ball on their 21-yard line, and you lost.
Yeah,
at home,
with a chance to just run the game out, and you lost.
Yep.
So Yeah, I don't know if you heard any of the crossover there, but I listened to Gerard Mayo today, and he just sounds still a little too content and happy, and like, add the Drake May stuff on Thursday night, waiting around for the GOAT, you know, sitting there with the goofy smile on his face, waiting for Aaron Rodgers, and they just feel a little too content and a little too happy with where they are for 1-2, and I was pretty happy too.
Yeah, yeah.
Before Thursday night.
Well, 1-1 was a lot different than 1-2.
Yeah.
And just the way that it played
out. And now they might be the worst team in football. So how bad is it going to get, Keith? And how bad can this season be? How long will this season be? I guess watching the league, I'm assuming a lot of you did yesterday. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe today, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch. You can text us at 37937. A lot of ways to interact with the show, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI or on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. If you were watching the league yesterday, what were your takeaways in relation to the Patriots? To me, it's going to be a long season. It's going to be a very long slog this year. And I didn't feel that way going into Thursday night.
Yeah.
But coming out of week three, I now feel that way. Maybe I'm overreacting. You can tell me if I am. But that's how I feel after watching the league.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, not to play your side of the street, but the next handful of games, it does kind of open up a little. It's not as murderer's row as we once thought. I'm certainly not giving them wins. Like, I'm not chalking up wins. But you saw San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore.
No, I'm not either. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know, because you asked, like, how bad can it get?
Yeah.
Like, so they got absolutely pantsed. Even though they lost by 21 on the scoreboard, it felt like 41, right? They got absolutely destroyed by the Jets. But we just saw the Niners blow a game to the Rams, and they have a million guys hurt. Miami is down to their third quarterback. Who knows who will even be the quarterback by the time they play the Dolphins?
Mac Jones?
Maybe. The Houston Texans looked awful in the game yesterday. Jacksonville is awful. Then you get the Jets again. And then Tennessee, maybe the only team worse than you. So, like, I still think that's a ton of losses, but it might not be the, you know, 34-0 loss like, you know, the Patriots had last year with Mac Jones and Bill Belichick against the Saints, or the, what was it, 38-3 game or against the Cowboys. Like, it might not be as ugly as those, but it's still piling up losses and, you know, squarely looking at the under 4.5 wins for the season total.
And the Brissett thing hurts it. Like, Mayo.
Well, that hurts the entertainment value significantly as well.
Well, when I say it's going to be a long year, like, that's what I mean. It's just, they're not going to figure it out on offense with Jacoby Brissett. And they might not with Drake May either, but isn't there a chance you figure it out with Drake May? There's a chance with the number 3 pick in the draft, you plug him in and things change. Like that. I mean, Carolina, it's not a perfect analogy because Andy Dalton is not a young quarterback. Their young quarterback is the one that got benched.
But it's still
people flipped on a dime with a competent quarterback.
Yeah, to me, I mean, people have twisted themselves into a pretzel talking about this, about how around here you need everything to be right before you put in the quarterback. But then you would ask, what's the most important position in sports? And the same people would say quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, so can the quarterback not make the play of the bad O-line a little bit better? I'm not saying he's a miracle worker, but he can't improve those guys. The wide receivers who have done nothing this season, he can't help those guys. Even the running back, just take a little bit of pressure off of him. Like, the better quarterback can help the entire situation. And I know it's not a perfect situation for him, but, like, where is? Like, what's the spot that you just put a guy in? Like, you're all set. Everything else is good, so you're going to be able to. Then guess what? Then you don't need the great quarterback because you do have everything else. Patriots don't have that. They need great quarterback play to help pull them out of this.
Yeah, and so, again, you might not get it with Drake May. I'm not telling you you're going to get that. And, you know, Mayo comes on today with the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. And he comes in and he says, well, we're going to stick with Jacoby Brissett because I watched the tape. And I felt more confident about it. You know, maybe he did. Maybe he talked to Elliot Wolf. He talked to other people in football ops, and they said, we're doing this because it's not really Gerard Mayo's call.
I don't think it is his call.
Which would explain the difference in approach on Thursday night after the game versus him coming out on Friday and saying, Jacoby's our guy till I say he's not.
Is he just the guy until he turns it over? Because he hasn't turned it over yet. So is that all that it takes to keep his job? Because that's what it feels like.
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's more related to the calendar? I feel like they've had the week 5 Miami, week 6 Houston.
Possible.
They've had those circled, and it's just, Jacoby, just get us to that.
But he, after the game, was a little bit more open. Remember, like, we talked about it on Friday. We're like, oh, it's a little bit more
open. The door
was
ajar.
The door is slightly ajar. Yeah. And then he slammed it pretty shut the next day. So it was like, all right, if he knew the plan was week five all along, post-game press conference week three, aren't you like, no, Jacoby's our guy? Because that's the plan. Unless he's looking for like a little bit of wiggle room to like go back to the guys. I'm like, is this still the plan? Like, can we get out of this?
Right.
Can we pull the plug on this one? This plan's not going great right now.
So I do think, and we were just getting into this a little bit with Greg and Wiggy, but you do start to really look at Elliott Wolf. Like, whose plan is it with quarterback right now? Is it Elliott Wolf's plan? We know the roster is, yes, thank you. I don't think people are feeling good about the Wolfpack these days.
I think people hate the Wolfpack. I think he actually is unanimously now the most just like, yeah, I do. I really do. I think he is.
People hate the Wolfpack.
The offensive line being in the state that it is in has been squarely, you know, in Elliott or on Elliott Wolf's lap right now. I think he is getting most of the criticism. You can be mad at Mayo. You can be mad at Van Pelt. You can be kind of, I don't think you can be mad at Brissett. He kind of is what he is. But you can be mad at the coaches, right? You can be mad at Kraft because he's the one that picked all these guys to put him in place.
Yeah.
But I think Elliott Wolf.
5 years ago, he picked them.
But I also think Elliott Wolf, yeah, it's true. I think Elliott Wolf inheriting this team, like knowing what this team was, right? It's not like he came in from another place. Like he knew what this team was. He went through the draft. He went through free agency and whatever opportunity there was for trades. And he was the one that was like, we're good. We have the offensive line. We have it. We just got to figure out the combinations. Like, what? Like, he's the one that said, like, Chukwuma Okorafor is going to be the left tackle on this team.
For 12 snaps.
He quit.
What he left out was the 12 snaps.
And then quitting.
Yeah.
And then just bailing on the team.
AWOL left, will not play for the team, yeah.
So your third-round draft pick who played right tackle in college has to start at left tackle early in the season. Like, I think that is all falling on Elliott Wolf because he was pretty. Like, that was the one thing. Remember, he was kind of, like, snapping back at people a little bit in the preseason when they were questioning, like, the offensive line looks awful. Like, he's like, no, we're good. We got to figure it out. We just got to figure out the right formula or whatever. And you're like, it stinks. And so that was a problem. That's been a problem for going on years.
Yeah.
And he just neglected it. And now, because most of the people that don't want to play Drake May point to the offensive line.
Right.
So if the offensive line sucks, why? You point to Elliott Wolf. So we're not seeing the number three pick in the draft. Because of Elliott Wolf, I think he's the guy that people are most mad at.
It is a neat trick where Elliott Wolf's like, well, he's not ready, and we're bringing him along, and you can't plug him in. Why can't you plug him in? Oh, because we don't have an offensive line. And why don't you have an offensive line? Oh, because I didn't do anything about that in the offseason. Oh, cool. But at least there's some weapons to pass to, right? Oh, no. We don't have those.
No.
Oh, why don't you have any weapons in the passing game?
We didn't get any of those guys.
Oh, we didn't really get those guys.
We didn't get any of those guys.
Yeah, we just re-signed everybody from last year and decided to run it back with a four-win team.
Like,
that was my call.
I was happy at the time with the Jalen Polk pick.
Me too.
But going into the draft, where you're like, all right, you need to sign a big tackle. You need to draft a quarterback and a wide receiver in some order. Like, that was sort of the consensus.
And
right?
Probably,
not everybody felt that way. But,
and probably get an additional outside receiver
and get
as well.
More. Yeah, and get more. And they apparently were in on Calvin Ridley. Just missed. Aw. Then they were in on Brandon Ayuk. Just missed.
Ah.
But if you were willing to, let's take them at their word that they were willing to throw around that kind of coin.
Sure.
All those hams they were willing to spend on Brandon Ayuk.
Hams on hams.
You couldn't have split those hams and gotten like a starting tackle? Like, where were you on the starting tackle situation? And you thought it was Okorafor? So the Steelers didn't want him.
Nope.
The Steelers were like,
no, the Steelers benched him last year and then were like, we're
benched
done with that
him
guy.
And then said, see you later.
As a right tackle, they benched him.
He was not good enough to be the right tackle on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Patriots were like, left tackle! Sign him now! We need him to play left tackle for this team. And then it was a mess. And then the Onwenu stuff also isn't helpful. Like, Elliott Wolf keeps puffing his chest out about that. He's like, we signed the best lineman in free agency. It's like, yeah, but I think he wants to play guard.
Yeah.
And now you're sticking him at tackle because you don't have any tackles.
Right.
So, yeah, that has been a colossal failure.
So, who are you angriest at? Maybe that's a good way to ask it. I think a lot of people are upset with the Wolfpack. It seems like they are. You said people now hate the Wolfpack.
I think they hate the Wolfpack. They despise the Wolfpack.
They fully despise the Wolfpack.
NWO Red.
And again,
they don't like it.
It is just a weird trick where Elliott Wolf is like, you can't blame A.
Yeah.
And then people turn around and blame the roster when he built the roster. So, who are you angriest at? Why are the Patriots at where they are? 617-779-7937. Lottie already waiting patiently. We'll get to you here momentarily on Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Monday. We'll be joined by Hunter Henry, the always electric Christian Gonzalez.
Oh, Gonzo.
Will be joining us at some point as well. We have what happened. Any questions about week three? We'll catch you up to speed at 11:20. Misleading, of course, at 11:45. And the week in review. We didn't get to it on Friday.
Yeah, let's do it today.
Let's do it today. Yeah. Last week.
In review.
In review.
Yeah.
That'll be at 12:45 here on Jones and Keefe. And how long of a year is it going to be for the Patriots? Are they the worst team in football? They very well might be.
Is right now the moment where they're going to say, all right, we're just going to turn it over to Drake May? Didn't sound that way just simply based on the comments of Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo. But what is very evident here, Tom, is that it is coming. Whether it's next week, whether it's the week after, whether it's the middle of the season, it is clearly coming. And the Patriots, have, rather than put him out there, they've really tried to ease him in. You just hope at the end of all this that it is all absolutely worth it. No one's going to care that he came in and got hit a couple times against the Jets, but was that valuable to his development? The Patriots obviously hope yes, and pretty clear we will at some point fairly soon see Drake May.
Ian Rappaport over the weekend on the NFL Network. At some point fairly soon, it's clear.
Yeah.
We're going to see Drake May. I feel good about that.
However, I don't think Ian Rappaport has his finger on the pulse of Boston.
Oh.
He goes, I don't think people are really going to care that he got hit a couple times against the Jets. I'm like, I don't know, dude. Have you been listening around here? People are terrified. People care way more about the health and well-being of Drake May than any other football player who's ever touched the field around here.
Yeah.
They're going on and on about, you're going to get this guy killed. Look at that one play. He got rock bottomed. What's going to happen here? We should stop playing football.
Yeah.
Go to flag. So I would disagree with them on that people don't care.
That's a good
people
point.
People care quite a bit.
The Greg Bedard thought police were out.
They're terrified.
They're coming after Rap Sheet.
What if he gets tackled? He could get bumped.
You can't even think about playing.
Don't even dare.
So I've been thinking about it, whether it gets him hurt or not.
I think about it a lot.
I think
it keeps me up at night.
Maybe too much.
That's right. Move on.
617.
I got to get a hobby or something.
779-7937. You can jump in here on the phones. On Jones and Keefe, we gave you the Bozo touchdown parlay on Friday. People just won't stop talking about it.
Well,
four out of the first five legs have hit.
That's right.
The fifth leg is tonight.
It all comes down to that fifth leg.
It all comes down to Zach Moss.
Jones' Zach Moss pick is standing in the way of people getting $1,000 or not.
You're $1,200.
$1,200.
If you plunk down a ham.
One ham.
$1,200. So we'll get to the strategy on that. If you're riding the Bozo touchdown parlay.
Yeah.
And based on the feedback on social media, there's a lot of you out there.
Hold on tight.
Let's see what we do with it. You let it ride with Zach Moss tonight. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. Just on Rap Sheet there, the one thing I'll say, it's closed. It's clear he's going to play soon. Even you and I say this all the time. It's like, play him against the Dolphins, play him against Houston. It makes sense that week five, week six. I would just ask, if it's really that close where you're like, we're totally playing him week five.
He's not ready for week four, though.
Right. Why wouldn't you just lean in on this week?
No, Jones.
Especially with the week and
Jones,
a half.
He's not ready for week four. Week five, yeah, probably. But definitely not week four.
And I know they're not. Like, I know they're not going to do it, so I'm not pretending they're going to do it. But why wouldn't you? The Niners have not been good.
No.
They lost to a Rambulance L.A. Rams yesterday.
No Cup or Nacua, and they lose.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Tutu Atwell
smoked them.
And I think that was it. 2-2 Atwell. It was just 2-2 Atwell.
Kyron Williams touchdown?
That was nice. Kyron Williams is a nice player.
Yeah.
And they lost the week before to Sam Darnold and the Vikings, who are 3-0, but it's still Sam Darnold and the Vikings.
Yep.
So I don't think the Niners are quite the team we expected them to be on paper. It's 10 days to get ready for the game. I get not starting him on the road, but come on. If you think he could start week five, you can start him week four. That's all I would say.
But honestly, I don't even think it's that big of a deal to start on the road. I think that's kind of overstated, too. Like, isn't there almost more pressure on a player to play at home? And you have the home crowd who's like, this guy is literally the hope. Every Patriots fan is pinning everything on Drake May. Like, if this team is going to pull themselves out of the basement, it's going to be because of Drake May.
Yeah.
Why not get a start under your belt on the road? Also, like, the fact that he played in the game last week, I know we talked about this a little bit on Friday, that to me is a promising sign, because those that are so terrified of him getting tackled or bruised, then they would never play him, right?
Yeah.
If that's how Mayo and Van Pelt and those guys felt, then he would have been pinned to the bench, and they wouldn't have played him in the final drive.
And if he felt he was a million miles away, you wouldn't play him.
Correct. And he did, and he was fine. And we talked to Michael on Wednesday, and he was like, yeah, he was good.
He was good.
Yep.
And, I heard Burt Breer talking about this a little bit last night. The operation looked good. It's not like he went out there and it was false start. They couldn't line up.
Yeah. In and out of the huddle.
It worked.
Plays were called, executed.
He almost
first downs were achieved.
Oh, almost as many first downs they had all game.
He ran almost as many plays.
Yeah. Well, True.
This is a 16-play drive to nowhere.
He had four of their 11 first downs. Now, it was garbage time, and it was the end of the game, and Whatever. It's still only four first downs, and they didn't even score.
It was his time.
But at least they moved it.
Right.
So the operation looked okay. He almost threw a pick. He got body slammed, but he was okay. He was a big boy. He was fine.
Yep.
So when are we going to see him? When should we see him? Mixed in with, if you watched the league yesterday, do you have the same takeaway I have? Wild pendulum swing, admittedly. I'm spotting dimes. I'm eating onions. I'm all over the place.
Pick a lane.
Fine. I mean, if you want to accuse me of that, fine. Yeah. You're right. But I went from thinking the Patriots could go 3-0, and they're a frisky little team.
No, they're not frisky.
To now, they might be the worst team in football.
Yeah, burnt toast. So, yeah, no, you... Well, but you were very excited pre-Seattle, and then even after Seattle, you were still somewhat hopeful. But yeah, then the Jets game, that's going to change a lot of opinions. As, like, that was a bad game.
As I've been referring to it, it was foundation shattering. So what do you guys think? You watched the league yesterday. Where do the Patriots compare to the other worst teams? Are they the worst? 617-779-7937. Jillian's in Chelmsford. Start us off today, Jillian.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, and this was from the other show, but... There was something Gerard Mayo said that really concerned me when they had their little interview with him. They said he was talking about when he became a patriot, and he said, "Well, when I came on, I wasn't particularly awed by anybody." And I don't know. That was the season after the almost perfect season. Most of us were pretty awed by Moss and Brady. And it made me concerned, and this is what I'm hearing, and maybe this isn't true about him, maybe it's just the rest of the staff, and he's going along with it because he's a little this way, that I felt like with Belichick, he didn't value offense enough. He didn't put money in it. He kind of believed if he had a good manager and did everything else right, you could win. And he didn't value Brady. He thought he could do the same thing with Garoppolo as he did with Brady.
And you're worried about that with Mayo? Mindset.
I'm a little bit worried about that.
Okay. Look, Keith, my big takeaway today is that Mayo just doesn't sound pissed enough about his team being embarrassed and pantsed on national TV. Like, that was my big takeaway from their interview. I didn't read too much into the specific answer she's talking about, Chris, I think, asked him. Chris Curtis asked him, you walked in 2008 after a team that almost went undefeated. Were you in awe of anyone? And he said, no. I didn't read a lot into that answer. Did you take anything away from it?
No. I mean, I guess everybody's a little bit different. I mean, the guy's a first-round pick.
He's a 10th overall
pick. Top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Like, those guys are a little bit different than us. You know, like, that. He's not a fan of Moss and Brady like we were. So, I mean, he's probably going to come into it a little bit different. But the whole offense-defense thing, it's possible. I mean, I don't think he has a great deal of responsibility when it comes to the offense. But his bigger concern probably right now is just in the early going, his defense isn't as good as he thought. Because if his defenses were really good and the offenses were a mess, there's a little bit of the, well, I'm kind of doing what I'm supposed to do. But right now, neither is going very
well. Yeah, you said this last week, and it's right. They don't have much of a leg to stand on. If there's any, like, offense versus defense, we want this quarterback, we don't want that quarterback. Yeah. It's a week to keep it to yourself.
Yep.
Is what it is. You've been critical of the Wolfpack as well. I wonder what their relationship is like. And I wondered this with Cora and Breslow during baseball season. That's an important relationship. The manager and the GM, the coach and the GM. And I don't feel like they're fully aligned.
Well, they're very similar because they didn't, the GM didn't hire the coach or the manager in these cases.
Shotgun marriage, yeah.
Which is odd, right? That's usually not how it works. We've seen it where, you know, Dave Dombrowski inherited Farrell, kept him for a couple of years, and was like, all right, I'm moving on, I'm getting my own guy. Right, and so Gerard Mayo was Kraft's guy going back 5 years ago. So Elliot Wolf, it's like, hey, you can pick most of the players, but one of your biggest responsibilities is the coach, and that's out of your hands. So you guys, it's an arranged marriage. Sometimes those can work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah,
and I can't imagine Mayo loves this offensive line. Like, with most of the callers being like, this offensive line sucks. I think Mayo's probably saying the same thing because he wasn't as confident in the O-line all camp long as. Wolf was. Right? No, like their comments were very different.
The only time I really heard Mayo complimentary of the O-line was after week one when they beat Cincinnati, and he's like, yeah, you guys were all blown it out of the proportion. It's not that bad.
Right. Are you sure about that?
Yeah. And
give it a week.
Turns out you were right. Stick to your guns on that, Mayo. No, I think if it were up to Mayo, they'd make the move to Drake May. It's not, so they won't. But I think if it were up to Gerard Mayo, they'd make the move.
Week one he would have started if it was just up to Mayo.
And so that... There will be friction there between your GM and your coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mayo and the Wolfpack. I'm looking at our buddy Matt on Twitter, at JonesWEEI, at Keefe21. Maybe you can have the Keefe Stats and Info Department double check this.
Oh,
I'm just taking it at face value.
Yeah, what do we have?
He says the Patriots are last in total yards per game.
Oh.
246.3.
Mm.
They're last in passing yards per game, 102. I have an Andy Dalton stat. We'll get you next hour, which is
102 yards per game.
It'll burst your brain. 102 yards passing.
102 yards passing.
Yeah, yeah. 13 points per game. That's 31st. So they're 32, 32, 31. And the head coach is looking at it going, we have, you know, to steal a phrase from the now cut Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, yeah.
A Bugatti in the garage.
Bugatti, yeah.
And we're not using him. What the hell are we doing?
Not great, Bob.
No, it's not.
Jacoby Brissett is, if you project out the rest of the season,
I like
three games into the year.
Yeah, five touchdowns, no picks. I remember that from Friday.
Well, they go six. Yeah, I rounded down. They rounded up. I'm looking at the projected here.
Everybody's got an agenda with their numbers.
2,000 yards passing,
nice.
Six touchdowns
nice.
For the season.
Yeah, for the whole year.
Right.
Okay.
Six touchdowns. Even if you round up, it's probably more like five. He's gonna play. So he's gonna throw six touchdown passes.
Yeah, but there's gonna be like 1 3-week stretch where he throws an extra touchdown.
No,
Let's go to our buddy Jonathan in Randolph. What's up, Jonathan?
I have two counterpoints for the cowards who don't want to start Drake May because he might get hurt. One is, I mean, we all die eventually. And two, a lesson from yesterday that most people didn't notice: Chargers best tackle prospect in Joe Alt. He gets hurt. So if that happens next year with our, you know, number one overall pick, we pick the best tackle to ever come out of the draft. So we finally start Drake May. If that tackle hurts his leg in week three, so do we pull Drake May out?
Yes.
I mean, we can't have him get hurt.
Yeah, right, you have to.
As soon as the guy goes down, you got to get him out of there.
No, so
Alt got hurt and Herbert's hurt. So
okay.
It's like he's protecting your quarterback. He's also been banged up.
Let me tell you, this is a good take by Jonathan about Joe Alt. And you see what the Chiefs had to do?
What the Chiefs have to do?
Chiefs already benched their rookie left tackle.
Mm.
They started Wanya Morris last night. Against the Falcons. So they've already drafted a kid. I think he was a second-round pick, if I'm not wrong. But they drafted a left tackle, plugged him in to start, benched him. Pittsburgh had a right tackle who they were playing as a rookie, who's injured. And so this idea...
You know who got in for the Falcons? Storm Norton.
Did he really?
I got a tweet about it last night. Storm Norton played
for the
Falcons. Our
guy Storm. We thought he was out on the street and available.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah.
Okay, but it's my only point about the O-line. Joe Alt, the kid in Pittsburgh, the kid in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
One got benched, the other two got hurt. This idea that you couldn't whiff on a pick at left tackle or at offensive tackle is so dumb. Or even that none of the receivers are going to whiff.
What if you drafted a guard in the first round? Is there any chance he might not be good?
I would think the Patriots have a good experience with that. And so, look, the receivers, you have more to crow about. If you wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. or the guy I preferred in the draft, Malik Nabers.
He looks nasty.
Or even Roma Dunze had a great
game. They all
look
good.
All three of those highly drafted wide receivers, those guys are working out right now.
Yep.
That's fine. The tackles, one looked good for 2.5 games and got hurt. The other guys are hurt and benched. It's not automatic no matter what you do. You shouldn't be afraid to draft the quarterback. Never mind afraid to play the quarterback. But what we've learned, Keith,
I know.
There's a bunch of fraidy cats around here.
It's just terrified. I'm shocked.
Their own shadow.
Shocked.
They're afraid of their own shadow. As Jonathan and Randolph said, we're all going to die at some point.
That's a great point.
What are you
we
so worried about?
We should lead all our calls with that.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know why you guys are so bent out of shape about it. You could be dead.
Like, all right. As a wise man, Mike Petrella used to say, one day the earth is going to go slamming into the sun, and none of it's going to matter anyways.
That is true.
617-779-7937. We have all your phone calls here on Jones and Key. Very busy day. We'll get into, some interesting lessons from benching Bryce Young that maybe the Patriots can take to heart. I think people have that one backwards. Plus, we'll revisit the Bozo touchdown parlay. What do you do? If you're letting it ride,
what do you do?
We'll talk out. A lot of money on the line.
That's right.
Thanks to Jones and Keefe tonight on Monday Night Football. We'll get to it next. I'll tell you what, people won't stop talking about the Bozo touchdown parlay, Keith.
It's only week two. Did we do it week one? I think this is the week two of us doing it.
We did it week one. This is the second week we're doing it. Last week, we were 1 for 5. Not great.
No, but it was a good start.
Hat tip to Billy Lanny. He hit on Justin Jefferson.
It was like the best touchdown of the week, too.
Yo, it was a great touchdown.
Get bonus points for that. But we came right back at you the next week. Everybody picked a touchdown.
Well,
no, hold on.
Oh, we all picked one. Yeah,
we all picked one.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You picked a Monday night touchdown, which was fine. It's allowed, especially when there's a doubleheader, for God's sakes. But the first four touchdowns all hit. Me, Nick, Lanny, and Terp all got a touchdown pick. So, like we said, if you put just one ham, $10 on the Bozo touchdown parlay, depending on what book you were shopping, they all had slightly different odds, you were going to take home over $1,200.
Yeah, the math Terp tweeted out on Friday was $1,221.85.
Come on.
On one ham.
One ham. So the question is, a lot of these books also allow you, once you've won a couple legs of a parlay, you can cash out.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. Do you cash out for, let's call it $550 on a $10 bet? Or do you let it ride, hope Zach Moss gets his dumb ass in the end zone tonight, and you get $1,200?
Okay, well,
what do you do?
Okay, well, this is
what's
the
play?
Hang on, this is the important background though, because we've already hit on four. So you had Lamar.
Yep.
Billy had Amon-Ra, which, by the way, listen to Billy specifically on this. He's 2 for 2.
True.
Nick had Adam Thielen, which was just
from the clouds,
wild pick,
and then got hurt on the play.
Whatever,
who cares? Dude?
Didn't need you after that.
Got a big tug.
And then Terp started the day with a Chris Godwin touchdown.
Chris Godwin, a little sneaky touchdown.
Snuck it right. It was the only touchdown they scored.
That game sucked.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But he picked the touchdown. So 4 for 4.
Okay, but then, so we've already hit 4, and now it's all up to
the favorite, actually. The only
Zach
minus
Moss.
Money.
Was he the only minus money in the parlay?
I believe they were all plus money except for Zach Moss.
Can somebody check what is his specific touchdown odds updated to? He was minus 130 when I got
it
the other
day. I think it's
higher. Meaning lower.
Or lower, I mean. Like more likely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
what do? You let it ride?
You ride.
Let it fly?
Yeah. We ride.
I mean, $550 is nothing to sneeze
it
at.
It is, but
he's
what?
He's currently minus 125.
Ooh.
Oh,
that's actually worse.
They're telling you he's going to score. Wait, where are you seeing that one?
DK.
Okay. All right. I'm efforting here. Let me see.
So, don't you feel worse? I could live with myself not cashing out. It's $10. Don't you feel worse?
But
if you
you're
cash
also
out?
Sitting on $550. Okay. You could buy a PS5.
Okay,
right
but don't you feel worse missing out on that fifth leg?
Sportsbook Rhode Island.
You're
going to
be so mad watching Monday Night Football tonight if Zach Moss scores and you cashed out.
Minus 138.
So they
like it even more.
Yeah, Rhode
They're
Island.
They're telling you it's got it more likely than not.
The whole state of Rhode That's Island is like, let it ride.
So
let
Zach Moss, ride. Touchdown.
Yeah.
1,200 bones.
Yeah.
I think you probably do have to let it ride.
You let it ride.
I mean, as much as I'm a cheapskate.
I lose parlays, Keith?
Yeah,
I lose parlays every day where there's all kinds of money that I could have made on
Not 550.
Not
Long
typically
likely
that,
the 550
not typically that
there.
Much where I have a bird in the hand.
All right, so let's see. We got
I'm going to wait for two in the bush, not the bird in the hand. I'm waiting for the bush.
$10 Shake says, that. Cash out now.
No,
exclamation.
You don't know.
Let it ride you blank from Dubs.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Dark and stormy nights. Let's ride. Going Russell Wilson style.
Let's ride.
That's right. Bozo parlay.
Bozo touchdown
ride.
Parlay. Let's ride.
Yeah, I think people want you to keep playing. What are they saying on the hedge? People are saying hedge. Cash out hedge.
Boo.
Let it ride. Zach Moss.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Let's ride. I'm with you, Russell Wilson.
Yep. It's the only time. Maybe the only time I'm with you, Russ. So the Bengals are home against the Commanders.
The Commanders, here's the thing.
7-point favorites.
The Commanders are so bad. They're so bad against the run. They're so bad.
Zach Moss scores.
You're not picking Zach Moss.
Man.
You are picking against the Commanders in their run defense, which just let Devin Singletary run wild last
All
week.
All right.
Hence the Zach Moss pick. Now, look.
Zach Moss has a touchdown this year.
Yep. Here's the only reason to cash out. You have no faith in me, which is completely defensible thing. The whole touchdown parlay rides on me and my
terrifying
my sports predicting acumen. The whole thing rides on me. So if you have no faith in me, I don't blame you.
Cash out.
But
you've convinced me. Cash out. So I don't know if this helps or hurts you. Week one against the Patriots.
He's an odd weak guy.
Zach Moss. Yeah. How many carries do you think he had in that game?
Oh, not a lot. 10.
9.
Okay.
Next week against Kansas City, how many carries?
15.
12.
Okay. Well, he's got to be efficient.
He didn't get any touchdowns last week. I'm just saying. So he has had 21 total carries in 2 games.
Yeah,
1 touchdown.
So what are you saying? Are you saying cash out?
Yeah, now that I kind of am.
Now you're talking yourself into cash out.
Kinda, well, because you
paid, cash out, Keith.
Cash out, Keith.
Cash out, Keith.
550.
Come on.
I'm walking around 550. Throwing dollars around. 550 is a lot of. That's a lot of hams.
Cash out.
55
Keith.
Hams.
How dare you?
I mean, it's not like you're cashing out and you're getting like your $10 back.
Keith,
like, you get $550.
Keith, you know who cashes out?
Who? Losers.
People.
Cowards.
People who want Drake May and bubble wrap. That's a Drake May bubble wrap.
No,
take.
I
cash
am...
out, Keith. That's a Drake May
cash
bubble
out
wrap.
Now you won't have to pay taxes on it later.
Oh, no tax. Oh, now Jones is scratching his head now.
No,
about that.
That's because I legitimately don't get it.
So if you,
what do you mean?
Make over $600
like
on a bet,
$600, you have to claim it.
You gotta like. There's like some.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think it tells you how many. It tells you the lack of $600 bets I've hit. But yeah,
Jones
it's not
didn't
bad.
Get one of those emails from the books last
week. Oh,
so
I like you skirt the IRS this way.
So
cash out? No one's the wiser.
Hang on. If I hit $1,200, I immediately have to pay taxes on that?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I think before you even cash out, you have to.
That tells you about my. If this is informing you at all on the betting acumen, but okay.
So really, you're only coming home with like $800 or whatever.
Right, seriously. You're basically, the parlays are too good.
It basically nets out at the end of the day. Once they take taxes out, you might as well just cash out at the end of the day.
Now you might have to cash it out.
So, wow. Okay, so
$5.50.
Cash out, Keith says cash out. I say let it ride.
Slim Jim in the chat says if Keith cashes out, I'm cashing out on Keith. I don't know if he had money on B specifically.
I don't really understand the analogy. Can we also bring up separately, and you guys can weigh in with your thoughts.
I say let it ride.
You said cash out.
Well, you were throwing me off the tax.
Yeah.
The tax.
Yeah.
Throwing me off as well.
Oh, thank
you. My head's in the clouds. Maybe I'll have an answer for you later on the show. I can hear both sides of it.
Who knew a month into the program that so much would be riding on Monday Night Football and Zach Moss? Like, who knew? Because really, Keith, the Bozo touchdown parlay could a lot is riding. I don't want to say the whole segment's riding on it, but like a lot. If we're making people a grand plus.
Oh, it could be how you heat your house.
Before taxes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Before taxes.
Right.
If we're making people a grand plus, never mind if they put down 25, 50 on it. I mean, who knows?
Well, that's not going to be silly.
I'm just saying.
A guy week one.
Yeah.
A guy week one put $100 on it. I swear to God. He tweeted us.
Too much faith. That's too much faith.
That was way too much faith. Yeah. But imagine if he did it this week.
Oh.
He would have won like 15 grand.
So retire. You can just retire.
You quit your job. Tell your boss to work. You.
Yeah, just throw your paycheck in
their face. Oh, the parlay.
I'm out of here. Old man Johnson.
He's like, well, actually, you got to tax that. Now you're down to $8. Like, ah,
damn it.
Son of a gun.
I did it again.
Damn
honey,
you.
Honey, I want to bet and quit my job again.
She's like, here we go again.
Again?
Here we go.
Yeah. Cash out the 401k.
Update the LinkedIn. Since here, you've had a lot of different jobs. Yeah. What seems to happen?
Well, I win bets.
Every football season, I win a couple parlays. I tell my boss to stick it. I have to find a new job. Turns out that $1,200 doesn't go as far as it used to.
I run a little hot, sir. but it's passion. It's like passion.
Three trips to the grocery store now doesn't actually really get you anything. Not trying to poo-poo the winnings here.
I don't want to because the Bozo touchdown parlay.
People are saying cash out.
What do you mean, people?
Somebody told Urban Surf 401, cash out and pay an exterminator to kill your bee's nest.
No, sir.
I'm letting that ride, by the way.
You can make money off the bee's nest.
I am.
You clearly haven't been listening,
I'm waiting for one frost. Thank you very much. And then the bees are going to drop dead. I'm going to take that thing and sell it to the first person that offers me $300.
You got
to
be getting close. It's officially fall.
It's so getting cool, but I don't think cold enough to kill these bees.
They just fly really slow?
Yeah. They're like, something's messing me up. What is this?
Flying around real slow.
My wings are sticky.
Meanwhile, Nick is out of the Survivor Pool. So he took the first Survivor Pool. It's Survivor Pool 2.0, which apparently we're the only show doing that. I thought the whole station was doing that.
I thought everyone was doing the buyback.
Apparently it's just us doing the buyback.
I'm going back. I have Bengals tonight, so I haven't won or lost yet.
I have the Seahawks, so I'm through. That's true. You and Bill guys have the Bengals tonight.
They call them Billy Bengals.
Yeah, Billy
3.0 next week. Tune in.
Yeah, we could. Well,
Jones could be the only one left.
I could win this one. We'll do buyback week three. Yeah, if the Bengals get knocked out. Well, root for Zach Moss tonight is all I'm telling you. Or cash out and watch Zach Moss cross the goal line, and you just cost yourself $600.
Sweet Rick City in the Twitch chat says only cowards cash out.
Only cowards cash out.
Well, that's a coward walking around with $550, though.
Sweet Rick City.
Not bad.
Sweet Rick City does.
Maybe cowards trust Zach Moss.
It's a bit of a put Drake May in bubble wrap tape by you, is all I'm saying. That's all. It's just a little bit of you can't.
Ooh, Dubs 985. Good question. Ask Gonzo and Hunter if they would cash out.
Good question.
I might.
Guys, what do you think?
Might actually get an answer.
Well,
might not. Two millionaires? They're like, I don't care what you do with your peasant money.
They're like, okay. $600 you're haggling over here?
$600.
Guys, I make that in a snap. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into your feedback. Please weigh in on the Bozo touchdown parlay. Are you a manly man like me, or are you wussing out like Cash Out Keefe over there? Plus, we'll get to the Carolina Panthers. We talked about this last week. Is there a lesson in the Bryce Young pick ruining a young quarterback? What should the Patriots take away from the Carolina Panthers experience? We have new data. And I think it points in a new direction, which would be towards the young quarterback. We'll explain with your phone calls next.